Why are we having to expand every question?
Well, there has to be a reason behind some of your answers. You know, it's not like flip of a coin or anything like that. You know what I mean? What gravitates you to that? To that one answer. The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, confederation championships, world championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Waterski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Season's greetings, one and all, and welcome to this episode of the TWBC Podcast. Thanks once again to Kevin Gallagher for providing us with the intro, and also to Regina Jaquist for her part in the cold open. And she, alongside some of the world's top water skiers, will feature prominently in this episode. Now, during the course of a webcast, I don't typically get to much of an opportunity to ask the skiers any personal or probing questions. Normally, most of it is cut to the chase and go straight into the technical orientated questions. But as we do have time in the off season and this podcast is up and running, I figured why not? Let's see if we can come up with some out of the ordinary questions and see how the skiing athletes react to them. So here's the first question that I asked them. Would you rather be the best player on a bad team or the worst player on a good team? I asked this question of Will Asher, Stephen Neveu, Regina Jaquist, Jamie Bull, and Thibaut Deyon. But the first answer comes to us a courtesy of Dane Meckler.
Ooh, that's tough. I think I'd rather be the best than a horrible. I think you can bring others up, and you know, I think you can. I like the improvement, the journey, rather than the other way around, just along for the ride.
All right, okay. You like to carry the teams. You wanna be the leader, as it were.
Yeah.
Will Asher.
I mean, I'd like. It would be nice to be a great player on a team that could improve and bring everyone up to the same level. I think that would be an achievement. Or if I'm on a team that's not as good, I have lots of role models around me that I can potentially come up to their level.
Yeah, it's six of one, half dozen of the other, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't see myself as I'm in an individual sport, but I get to dabble with a team. And one of the things I have a lot of passion about is trying to elevate everybody.
Stephen Neveu.
I think I could be the worst player on a great team. Ride the coattails of my teammates and win the championship.
Okay, so you don't fancy being a Wayne Gretzky then?
Oh, for all we know, he could be still Wayne Gretzky. Just everyone else, the team's even better.
Regina Jaquist.
I would rather be the worst player on the best team because I could learn from the better athletes on that team to become one of the best on the team.
Jamie Bull.
I think if I was the worst player on a great team, but we were able to like work really well as a team, that would be more fun than being the best player and kind of having to do things on your own.
Thibaut Deyon.
Oh, I would say I would love to be the best player in the worst team.
Okay, explain.
I mean, emotionally or feeling wise, being the worst in the best team, yeah, I would say I'm always trying to be the best on everything I do, and I would say looking at if other people are not as good as me, we all can always do something. I mean, I like to be a leader, I would say. So carrying a team that is not as good as me, that's what I like, and make them better. I mean, if I was the best one. But on the other hand, if I was the worst one, I would learn from the people that are better than me. But I'd rather have the situation of being the leader.
All right, some great answers there, I'm sure you'd agree. And the next question that I had lined up for our skiers, and I did actually reach out to a few more for this one. I had the likes of Freddy Krueger, Jacinta Carroll, Regina Jaquist, Joel Howley, Elizabeth Montavon, Karen Trulove, and Manon Costard. And the first answer that we're going to get is from Freddy Krueger. What is one thing that you like that most people don't?
Onions. I love onions. Raw onions, even. I'm not gonna, you know, eat it like an apple per se, but you know, raw onions on a sandwich is the kind of the more the merrier. I love that.
Jacinta Carroll.
Studying.
Okay.
I love to be. Yes, I'm a nerd, and I thoroughly enjoy the process of learning. And the time it takes, but then the gratification at the end to fully comprehend and understand the science or whatever it was you were trying to learn. I actually love studying.
Regina Jaquist.
Math.
Expand upon that. When did you realize that you had like a knack for math?
Well, I guess just always through school. I enjoyed my, you know, I was a little bit more of a nerd compared to most people, I guess, but probably in grade school I got my first like B ever in my life, and I thought that was just going to just ruin my life, and it was in math. And so I, you know, came home with my report card and I told my parents that I know I'm in trouble because I got a B in math and I'm never going to get a B again. It may have been a C, I don't know, but I never got that ever again. I was like A always in math. So I just think that it was a challenge, and, you know, as a kid, and, you know, I've been able to expand onto it now with my pharmacy degree that I got from Monroe, Louisiana. And now that I have a compounding pharmacy, you know, Emerald Coast Compounding. So we have the, you know, compounding is not just about the pharmacy world. It's also a lot of math that goes into it. And, I love math, so I get to do it every day, and it helps me with that side of my life and career.
Joel Howley.
Toe socks.
Okay, that's a little
weird.
Yeah,
mate, people seem to be pretty morally opposed to those, but I highly rate them, especially after exploding my foot at Worlds. They seem to let my feet rest a little.
All right, I'll be on the lookout for those the next time you head to these shores. All right, then, what's
They're
left?
Pretty controversial, mate. Everyone hates them.
Elizabeth Montavon.
I love the smell of vinegar, and I also love the smell of perm solution. I grew up in a hair salon because my parents owned a hair salon, so that's a very familiar smell to me. And because I still work in the beauty industry, every once in a while somebody gets a perm, and that smell, which everybody thinks is atrocious, I love it. It like reminds me of my childhood, and I know that's super weird, but yeah, perm solution.
Karen Trulove.
The smell of gasoline. I don't know. I kind of like when I'm at the smell of gasoline is, I don't know that I don't love it. I just like, I'm okay with it. And I know most people hate it.
Okay.
I'm just trying to
imagine you at the gas pump at like racetrack.
Well, I'm not. Yeah. Well, when I was a kid, my dad was always like, don't smell the gas. Or somebody would always tell me, don't smell the gasoline. And I don't know if it's because I was told that I shouldn't. And so I did. I don't know. But I just remember like thinking it doesn't smell that bad. I actually don't mind it. It has a unique smell. And no, I mean, it can be overpowerful. So it just that slight smell. Yeah. Is like, I don't mind it.
It's almost like that movie line from Platoon. Oh, I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Exactly.
Manon Costard.
I mean, in the summer, I'd rather have some somewhat cold water. And so if I want to go and swim, I actually really enjoy it being pretty chilly rather than just, you know, regular hot water. And I get, yeah, I get a lot of people telling me that I'm a bit crazy for that.
Okay, find a nice little lake. Find a nice little lake up in the Alps somewhere and take a dip.
Exactly. Well, that's where I grew up skiing, and the water was really, really cold, and the lake was very, very deep, and it was all, you know, like snow water from that winter that was filled up the lake that way. So yeah, the water was pretty cold. I guess I grew up that way, and I still like it.
Well, some interesting answers there. I'm sure you'd agree, especially the one from Joel Howley. And I'm definitely going to keep his feet to the fire, so to speak, with those toe socks. I'm sure that he'll be wearing those by the time he makes it over stateside in time for those Masters qualifier tournaments in the early part of May. But the last question that I will highlight for our competitors, Freddie Winter, Corey Vaughan, and Freddie Krueger, alongside Robert Pagosi and finally Chris Parrish, answer this next question. And I posed it to Karen Truelove first of all. This question definitely comes with a few humorous answers, and it is, what's the cheesiest movie line or moment you can think of?
The Titanic, King of the World. Yeah, King of the World. I always find that kind of cheesy. I don't know. So that's my...
Okay,
one that just comes to mind. The old, is that what it is? King of the World? Yeah. King of the World? Yeah.
No, Leonardo DiCaprio and Gwyneth Paltrow in that one.
Yeah, or what? No, it wasn't. Well, it was Leonardo, but it was, what was her name? Not Gwyneth, it was, Kate Winslet.
Yeah. The other one. Ah. Yeah. It's always one of those, you know. It's
even. Gotcha.
Gah. Yeah. Kate Winslet. There we
Kate
go.
Winslet, yeah. I do really like her. Like, but there was something about that in the movie. I was like, oh, that's just a little cheesy for me. But so I guess that'll be my answer.
Freddie Winter.
I don't know. I spend a lot of time trying not to watch cheesy films. I find them annoying. But I mean, it's got to be something from Pearl Harbor or something ridiculous. I mean, Pearl Harbor, which was, I think, came out in the... right at the end of the 90s or early 2000s, or yeah, it was sort of along that Armageddon, you know, I forget what's the name of the director, Michael Bay, I think. It was just shocking, overwrought emotion, which was parodied pretty well by Team America, one of the greatest films of all time, a couple of years later. I can't think of anything specific, but I mean, just you know, Josh Hartnett, you know, crying, beating the floor and being very upset about whatever had happened that had caused him such distress. That's cheesy as all hell.
Yeah, probably the other guy that was on that movie, what was it, Ben Affleck, who was there on the same set. I mean, I would probably be in a sobbing mess as well if that happened.
Yeah, I bet for whatever reason Ben Affleck gets such hate, I don't know, but I'm not sure. I bet they were both quite boorish characters in real life.
Corey Vaughan.
Okay, you're really holding my feet to the fire here. Cheesiest movie line or moment? Alright, well, I'm just going to go with, I'm not going to know the characters' names very well, but I think people will know what I'm talking about. In The Sound of Music, there's the one scene with like the teenage daughter and the teenage Nazi soldier where he sings her that song kind of like outside, and I don't know. It was very patronizing and rather cheesy. So I'm going with that one.
Freddy Krueger.
Cheesiest movie I know of is a movie called The Replacements. And it was substitute football players when the NFL went on strike was the premise of it. And there was, boy, there was a bunch of them in there. But probably, I don't know if it's cheesy, but I think one of the best lines was Gene Hackman asked the guy, do you know what separates the winners from the losers? And he said, yeah, the score.
Robert Pagosi.
Oh, I think it's the one from Wolf of Wall Street when the Matthew McConaughey and Leo start doing the You know what I mean, right?
Yes, I know exactly the one you mean, and that's Vincent Stadelbauer's ringtone.
Exactly, that one.
Yes, that tune haunts me for the rest of my life anyway.
Chris Parrish.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
There we go, Top Gun.
Yes.
There we go.
Damn, I knew you. How did I know that you were going to know that?
Of course, it's an iconic one, isn't it?
Yeah. That's great. Yes.
But if you screw up just this much, I'll have you piloting a plane full of rubber dog out of Hong Kong.
Oh, dude, that's great.
All right, then. I like the second one actually better. Rubber dog out of Hong Kong.
Hey, Tony.
Yes.
God damn it. That's twice. I want some bots.
That's good. That is good. I love that. Yeah. That's also from Top Gun. And I'm sure some of you out there are racing towards your DVD shelves to blow the dust off your copy of Top Gun, or at the very least going to one of those streaming services to play back that movie for old times' sake. It will certainly entertain you between now and the time where the actual sequel comes out, but we're just going to have to wait a little while longer for that, aren't we? Well, that concludes this episode of the TWBC podcast. Thank you very much for listening in. If you want to reach out to me, the email address is podcast@waterskibroadcasting.com. podcast@waterskibroadcasting.com. The next episode will be coming right at you before you know it. But in the meantime, I'm going to say ciao for now and enjoy the remainder of your festive season.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.